Our New Testament text today is found in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, beginning in verse 12. Paul's been talking to the Philippians about the resurrection of the dead and obtaining that resurrection. And he says to them, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained." Most all of you know, if you've listened to me on anything of a regular basis, that when I read a text, I immediately go from the text and I try to take the advice of read, explain, and repeat sometimes. But sometimes the affairs of life interfere and you kind of feel yourself in a mood to do something different. I was talking with a good friend of mine at lunch this week about some things that are going on in my life, and he asked me what I was going to do today. And I said, "Well, I'm going to try to come up with a coherent narrative. And I hope to make such coherent narrative devoid of tears, because I promised my wife I would at least try." After much prayerful consideration and seeking out advice from friends and family and lots of others, I have decided that I'm going to retire on May 31st of this year. It will come, no doubt, as a surprise to some of you, some not. I've shared this with the deacons this past Monday. I've notified the moderator in official written form so that he might know. And as I did that, I recognized that you no doubt will have questions and wonders, and there are lots of different things that are going on. And so I tried to find a scripture that would kind of help me to let you know at least where I was and where we might need to go from there. Originally, I kind of thought about Joshua, but I'm not a Joshua following a Moses, so that didn't work. Then I thought a little bit about David following Solomon, and I don't have enough wives for that to work. Then I thought about Solomon and his sons that came after him who never quite measured up to him. But then I thought about this passage in Paul, which is really, it's one of my favorites, because it reminds me of the privilege that has been mine to be able to preach the gospel to loving, caring congregations for a little over 35 years now. And I want you to know that you certainly are in that camp as well. We have had many wonderful things happen to us while we were in Delaware. Both of our sons were married in this sanctuary. We'll always remember that. I will always remember Sam kneeling down here for ordination. Big time events. You've loved us through times when you were irritated with us. And I say us because the pastoral life is different from a lot of others. When you go to work, if you get mad at your boss, you don't know the boss's wife, so you can't take your anger out on her. And unfortunately, a pastor's wife receives lots of different things. But we have been, that is, Kathy and I have been partners in ministry here. And we thank you for all the things that you've done for us. And we've learned a lot since we've been here. We've grown in different ways. And I want to make it very crystal clear that this is retirement. This is a time to do those things yet undone. I titled the sermon, "Not There Yet." That's because, unlike Jack Nicholson, I don't have a bucket list of things that I definitely want to do. As you will read in your newsletter next week, I have a sneaking suspicion that a number of trips to Connecticut might be in my future, but let me assure you, we don't have any intention of moving to Connecticut. Now, just because I don't have any intention of doing that doesn't mean I won't do it ever, but that's not a part of our plans right now. I do not have another church lined up to go to. I'm really retiring, and I hope I'll be able to do supply preaching for a long time. I used to think I'd want to get right involved in an interim, and then I thought, why would I want to exchange one church's problems for another church's problems? Because that's what interims do. You deal with them. Trust me when I tell you it was a very difficult decision. And I guess maybe that's kind of why I was drawn to this passage in Philippians. Paul was a forceful personality. He knew what God had called him to do, and he just went and did it. And then he started all these churches, and then he kept in touch with them. And the Philippian church in particular was the one church that he said when he thought of them, he had joy. But in spite of that, he has to write this letter because there's some quarreling going on there, and he's trying to deal with that and help them. But when I read this passage, I recognize that there is never a point in life that we're not called to press on, that we might attain that which God has given us as a goal and hopefully as an everyday reality. Now, Paul calls it the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The hymn that we're going to sing at the end of service today says, "Lord, lift me up and plant my feet on higher ground." And what a wonderful prospect that whatever life has sent to us, that sometimes we can get so focused on what's right in front of us and what's right around us that we forget that our calling is to higher ground. But we just don't immediately go from the lower lights to the upper lights, but life is a journey as we move through there. So Paul had the same kind of conflicts that every preacher of the gospel has known since. You try your very best to share something of what it means to have been called out of darkness into light, to be called out of whatever your foundation in life might be to higher ground, to a new way of looking at things. And to do that always in the midst of a community. When I was a kid, I never had one, but I always wanted a particular toy. And I don't even remember exactly what they called it, but I can describe it to you almost perfectly. It was a little cylinder like this, and a motor, and all kinds of rocks. And you'd throw the rocks in there, and you would turn it on, and the rocks would then turn into gems of some sort. You know what it was called? Rock tumbler, gem maker. See, we have different cultures, different names to call things. Because I thought of how much happens in community that we have at least the opportunity to become gems. Because whenever we're dealing with people that are different, they challenge us to think about where we came from. They challenge us to think about how it is that we do things. And Lord knows we have recognized that we won't ever get to that position where we're all unanimous in thinking how things are. And maybe that's not a bad thing. I have personally been always an advocate of unity, and not only in the local congregation, but unity throughout the totality of God's family. And one of the reasons that's always been so important to me is because I grew up in a church that thought it was the church. And it was like, if you're not us, you're not anything, really. You're kind of suspect. And early on in my Christian journey, as I encountered others from different denominations as well as different faith groups, I began to realize that there is something within all of us that wants to rest at peace with God, to know who we are and where we are and why we're here and all those sorts of things. And life is a journey. I've shared with you many times before, and some of you may remember many of those times, that I believe that we are the sum total of our experiences. And the one experience I think that has dominated my life at least since I was 25 years old was that I am part of God's family. And the reason that's so very important to me is because I was raised in God's family, and then I went into the Coast Guard and I wandered away from God's family and really didn't feel like I was part of God's family. And then God sent me a wife who prayed for me and turned me over to the Holy Spirit. And then I got invited to come back in the family, not only be in the family, to talk about what it meant to be in the family. And Jesus said once to the disciples when they're saying, Lord, it's really not fair. We've given up all these things to follow You. And then here are all these other people that are doing so well. And Jesus said to him that anybody who's given up houses and property and family and mother and father, then I will give you replacements. And I feel that God has done that for us. And I must tell you that I can't go into any depth then because I might forget my promise to my wife. But let me tell you that, and it may seem like 4 months and 1 week, and yes, Jennifer, I'm counting, at deacon's meetings, Jennifer reminded me, she said, well, there's still work to do. And I said, well, trust me, Jennifer, I'm not going to go to my files and get my 18 top sermons of all time and preach them. Now, I may do 9 of them. I don't know. It may seem like a long time, but it'll go quickly. And I hope in the times that we have left together as pastor and people that we can celebrate the things that have happened. Now, I'm a realist. I know some of us will celebrate in different ways and different ideas. I came to grips with that sort of stuff a long time ago. Early on in my ministry, I was in a pastoral care group. And I confessed to the group one day that I recognized that anybody that talked as much as I did would offend somebody somewhere. And I've always made it a goal to say, I don't intentionally try to do that. And if I've done it even accidentally or you think on purpose, we can talk about it. But these things happen because life is what it is and we have different things. So I want to close this, and I know it's a short sermon, but I'm going to keep faith for my wife and also be to all the places I need to be today. I've earned the right to have a short sermon now and then. But frame the things that are happening in light of your faith. This will be a big change. You'll have to get to somebody altogether new. Who knows, your next pastor may be a Republican. Please don't ask that in advance. See, here's the fact, Myers. Not only do I not know, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. It's your, and it's not your problem either. It is your challenge to continue to believe that as God has called you together in this particular community of faith, He has a reason for you being here. And there's somebody prepared to come now. We just don't know who that is. And I'll close with the one thought that I got at Sam's installation when somebody on the search committee said, when we started looking for a pastor, we don't even know that Pastor Sam had been called to the ministry yet. But we feel like God was preparing him to be our pastor. The person's out there. Let us celebrate. Let us cry a tear if we have to, but try not to do it in a public way that you embarrass one another. And my good friend Bob Gaffey, who I was telling Sunday, who told me to come up with a coherent narrative, he said, well, you know you may have to get a certain amount of hugs. He said, could you put a limit on that before you go? Who knows? I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing what is one of my favorite songs. And I don't know if Jennifer knew that or if that's just the Spirit working that we picked that. Lord, lift me up and plant my feet on higher ground. I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know how things are going to unfold. But I'm confident that I'll still be a child of God and I'll still want to share the gospel where I am. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for allowing us to come here for worship today. I thank You for all the memories that have been built up in our relationship with this church over the years, and pray that You would lead and guide us in these upcoming months, that we might honor You in all that we do, that we might give You thanks for the good and receive forgiveness from one another if needed. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our final prayer, you probably have it here, bulletin 355. Lord, as we leave your sanctuary today, may we leave sure in the knowledge that you go with us and your love will sustain us. Help us to honor the memory of your servant Martin Luther King, Jr. during this weekend, as we remember that he took the words of Scripture, put them in his life, put them before the people, and hit the road with them. And we are thankful to you for the outcome since. Lift us up and plant our feet on higher ground. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.